Blog Talk Radio.
الحمد لله رب العالمين نستعينه نستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Praise be to Allah, guardian evolver, cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds. We seek aid from Him. We turn to Him with complete faith and devotion, begging forgiveness for our faults, our sins. We put our complete trust in Him. And I bear witness that nothing deserves worship except Him alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, the universal message for all people, is His servant and His messenger. The Most High says in the Quran, through the prophet Moses, that He sent to the children of Israel. He says to them, Tubu ila bari'ikum. Tubu ila bari'ikum. Repent you to your Lord who formed you, who gave you form, who formed you of the earth. In the Quran chapter called the Baqarah, Al-Baqarah, the sins of these people who rejected the Prophet Moses is singled out. Perhaps the worst sin that any people ever committed or can commit. And that sin is the changing of God's word. So that it will serve unrighteous aims of an unrighteous people. Allah Most High says in the Quran, can you men of faith entertain the hope that they will believe in you, seeing that a party of them heard the word of Allah and perverted it knowingly after they had understood it. وَيُحَرِّفُونَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا عَقَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they changed it, perverted it. Perverted means to change even the nature of it. The nature of the message was to produce good, to advance good, and to help man, humanity, men, women, families, reach higher degrees of human excellence, community excellence. When that nature's changed, then you get just the other results. You get the other results. Not the improvement of the people, but the degeneration, the ruination of the people. That's why the term here, perverted, is used. They perverted the word after they understood it. Behold, When they meet the men of faith, they say, we are believers. So now another thing is brought out. These people are hypocrites. They are not bold wrongdoers. They're afraid to come out and show the wrong that they are doing. They must do their wrong undercover. Behold, when they meet the men of faith, they say, we are believers. But when they meet each other in privacy, they say, shall you tell them what God has revealed to you, that they may engage you in argument about it before your Lord? Do you not understand their aim? Now, listen to the conversation. These perverted, hypocritical bunches, groups, they are speaking the same way that God-fearing people speak. I think it passed by us when we read it. Let's listen again. Behold, when they meet the men of faith, they say, we are believers. But when they meet each other in privacy, they say, shall you tell them what Allah has revealed to you, that they may engage you in argument about it before your Lord? Do you not understand their aim? No. They mention the name Allah as being their Lord. And they're treating Prophet Muhammad and his followers as though they are not real believers. So that should tell you very clearly that these are people who are just as faithful in worshiping the devil as we are in worshiping God. Their Lord is the devil. But they refer to him by the same name, God. They call their Lord God. But their Lord is indeed the devil. I'm not talking about some spooky thing, some spooky concept. I'm not talking about a witch cult society. I'm talking about people who claim to be educated, claim to be knowledgeable, claim to know the sciences. But God in their mind is not the God that is in our mind. And they use the same language. They say God. And they speak reverently of Scripture. But they are the worshippers of the devil. Is this new to you? If you have been in the church, this shouldn't be new to you. The Bible says of Jesus that he said, if you were of Abraham, you would love me. He said, you are of your father, the devil. And the works of your father you will do. This is the Bible. Where Jesus the prophet was speaking to some people that professed to believe in the book, in Scripture. And they were using the name God exactly as he was using it. And they were identifying as the children, as the people of faith and the people of God, children, just as the other people were. But Jesus singled them out and said, if you were of Abraham, you would love me. You are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. So this language that is in the Quran is very much like that language in the Bible. Here are people who are using the name God and are speaking reverently of Scripture. But the Quran tells you that they are not. They are the worst enemies of God. So think not because people say God, they are good people. Think not because they say, yes, this is my Scripture, they are good people. Some of the worst people, in fact, the worst people on this earth are under the guise of religion. The worst on this earth are under the guise of religion. And religion to them is a whole nother picture. Let's read it again. Can you men of faith expect, entertain the hope? It means expect. Can you men of faith expect that they will believe in you, seeing that a party of them heard the word of Allah and perverted it knowingly after they understood it? Now here they were blessed with something that the average person is not even blessed with. The average person is not even blessed to understand the word of God.
Right.
They just hear it, and they so touched by its sincerity, so touched by its purity, that they believe in it. Not that they understand it, but they are touched by the sincerity and the purity of God's word, and they believe in it. Someone say, you believe in those superstitious things? Do you believe that God can really raise you up after death? And the sincere ones say, yes. See, it makes no sense to me. That's what the disbeliever will say.
Right.
It makes no sense to me. But the believer says, yes, I still believe in it. Say, how can you prove that? He doesn't know. Poor, unschooled, uneducated person in the Word of God, he's just faithful. He can't explain to you how that can be. But the Word is pure. The Word is good. And it has touched the good heart. And the good heart says yes to God without understanding. Now here, this party of devils, they are blessed with understanding that the average person never gets. The average person never gets. Live their life in faith and die, never knowing the mysteries of religion, never having understood the mystical sciences. But the devil knew. The Quran says they perverted it knowingly, and then it's emphasized after having understood it. Not only did they know what they were doing, they understood the value of the word of God. And that's why they perverted it. Because they understood it, and their hearts were not in accord with it. So they had to change it. There's nothing feared on this earth more than the pure word of God. Because the pure word of God can stand up against anything on this earth.
Right. Right.
It's time tested.
Right.
It's proven. This Frenchman who wrote a book here lately, a popular book, in the fine libraries, he wrote a book listing the 100 most influential men in history.
That's right.
And he put Prophet Muhammad on the top of the list. On the top of the list,
mm-hmm.
He put our prophet,
mm-hmm.
the prophet of the common people. He put him on top of the list. Another Western writer writes for Prophet Muhammad, and he says that there have been great conquerors, great reformers, and he named the great one, Alexander, all these great conquerors and reformers. And he said, but none of them have been as amazing in his achievement as Muhammad. Because the people he came to, the low ebb that they were on in terms of their mental development, moral development, and social development, they were totally destroyed. They had no social life. Their social life was hooliganism. The whole country was nothing but a teenage gang society. Yes, this is what history tells us. The whole country was nothing but a country of hoodlum gangs. Gangs, you know, little teenage war gangs.
Mm-hmm.
But men were doing it, just like you are in the city now, you know. Men are over the gang, and the youngsters are out there visible.
Right.
But some old hard man, ugly, rough, hard man, he's running the gang,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He's a teenager, but he doesn't. He's a teenager mentally,
right,
you
right.
see. But he knows chronologically he's the man. And he's ashamed to let people see him with his works.
Right.
So he just sends the youngsters out so the youngsters will be seen.
Right, right.
And he hides.
Right.
And he's paid by some corrupt people in the police department, CIA, etc.
Right.
He's that monkey doodle fella. He works for them. To keep the productive forces of the minorities tied up in destructive things. Because they have no use for them. Too many. Can't find employment for them. No use for them. So we have to tie them up in destructive things. So we know where they are. We know where they are. They're on Reefer. They're on Heron. They're on this. They own wine. They are homosexuals. So he can point out everybody. He knows where everybody is. He got all of them occupied. All of them are doing something. Ain't nobody idle. Behold, when they meet the men of faith, they say, we believe. The most wicked of the people, when they're among people who genuinely have faith, they claim to have faith too. Allah Most High says that they say when they're with the people of faith, they say, we believe too. We believe. But when they meet each other in privacy, they say, shall you tell them what Allah has revealed to you, that they may engage you in argument about it before your Lord? Do you not understand their aim? They fear the aim of the righteous servant. This is referring to the aim of the Muslim, the aim in the mission of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. They fear the aim. Their aim is to keep the people ignorant and to deprive them of power. Because if the little people get power, they will be a challenge to the big people. Their numbers are already a power in itself.
That's right.
The little people are the majority.
That's right.
So once they get knowledge, then the minority that suppress them, oppress them, are finished.
That's right.
The aim of the prophet of God is to bring the knowledge to the little people. So the little people will be on equal par with the minority. So what could frighten them more than that? What could frighten them more than that? Their only advantage, their only safety, is in keeping the little people dumb.
Right.
Keeping the little people out of the knowledge that gives them structure, form, consistency,
that's right.
objectives, direction. Yes. So their only security is in keeping you from that. Can't you see now and understand the verse a little better? The same knowledge that God gave the good man, and the good man took it and gave it freely to the world. As the scripture says of Jesus, why you arrest me in the night? But all I've done has been in the day. I haven't been lying to anybody or doing any double dealing. I've been honest. I've done my work in the light of the people.
Yes.
Now why you arrest me in the night? You're doing your dirt in the night.
Yes, sir.
You're doing your dirt out of the view of the people, out of the vision of the sights of the people. You see? They fear the aim because they don't want truth, justice, fair dealing, equality, equal opportunity for all. They don't want that. If you look in the language of democracy, you see democracy changing its language, but seems to be moving up to a more complete idea of what freedom really is. And we are very, very significant in the historical movement of freedom. Many of you don't know it, but when they enslaved us, they did it in the name of a principle of freedom. They enslaved us in the name of a principle of freedom, that these people enslavement will advance the cause of freedom. I got proof of it. So they actually enslaved us in the name of freedom. Then freedom began a new kind of unfolding, or a new kind of revelation, from chattel slavery again. Because after all, man had almost abolished the institutions of slavery in the whole world when they enslaved us. Isn't that a fact?
That's right. That's right.
Slavery was a thing of the past when they enslaved us. But when they enslaved us, they took the history back to chattel slavery. Excuse me, but you all should go out and do that. You shouldn't distract people. You shouldn't take people's attention off. If you're looking at stuff, go out. Go out and then check it and come back in and sit quietly and give your attention here. Excuse me for interrupting. But in the message, nothing is to happen to distract the attention from the khutbah and from the speaker who's delivering the khutbah. In the days of Prophet Muhammad, people sit with their eyes looking one direction at the imam. And you don't have horse blinders on. You can look at me and still see around there. I see all around me while looking at you. I'm talking to security people now who watch for some nut may jump up and do the huckabuck or something, you know. So they can see too, and they can look this way too and see. You don't have to be looking or scanting all over the people. Be more sophisticated. Praise be to Allah. And seek Him for guidance. Seek Him for protection. Dear beloved Muslims, coming back to our thought now. Slavery was introduced because of an economic necessity in the West. But every time there is a material necessity, the learned of the corrupt society take that, they have to keep history in order for themselves. They have a pattern that history must conform to, so they will be able to read it and understand it. And so their children after them, their children's children, will be able to read it and understand it. So history has one pattern in our eyes, but it has a hidden pattern in the eyes of the knowers. It has a hidden pattern. It must not only speak to the material progression, the material occurrences or events, it must also speak to the scheme that governs the life of the people. It must speak to their inward development as well as to the outward development we call the material world. So they compare the two, and they express both concerns with one language. With one language. So the enslavement of us putting us in chains, was turning the clock backwards. And they did it because of the necessity in the West for that kind of slaves, for work, for cheap labor, but also to start all over again a formula for bringing man to greater and greater idea of freedom. So there was a freedom from physical slavery. After that, what came next? Other forms of freedom, right? Just study our history, and you can see that other forms. The women weren't emancipated before.
That's right.
The women were emancipated. In fact, they're still trying to be emancipated.
Right.
But their emancipation began after our emancipation got started.
That's right.
I mean all women.
That's right.
White, black, no matter what color they are.
That's right.
The emancipation of women in the West began after our emancipation got started.
That's right.
So it seemed that we were a kind of a signal for the beginning of the emancipation of man. Man wasn't man emancipated. He was free to walk around like an animal, off a leash, but he wasn't emancipated. The idea of public education, didn't it come after our emancipation?
That's right, that's right.
So here is the liberal process now, the liberal process, the freeing of the minds of the masses. It didn't come about until after our emancipation got started. So they turned the clock back to 0 hour. Free the man from physical bondage. And then from there they move on up to increase or enlarge the sphere of freedom for man. So women, freedom has to be included. Moral freedom, freedom of the press,
that's right.
Freedom to congregate for religious purposes. Weren't these moral freedoms?
Right.
Yes. Freedom of expression, emotional freedom, and also the freedom of the intellect, mental and emotional freedom. If you don't allow people to speak, oh, they get choked up.
That's right.
I've got something to say, and you tell me I can't speak. Expression is a need of the life. You see? So all of these freedoms, the four great freedoms that were named under President Roosevelt, Delano Roosevelt, all of these freedoms. Now here in this late hour, we have the idea of equal opportunity. It had never been expressed like that before. Finally, they got to the real problem for those denied freedom. They expressed it very clearly. They said, look, these people want more than just to be free of the chain or off under the physical yoke. They want also moral freedom. They want religious freedom. They want freedom to express themselves. And the women, they need to be free too. They even want more than that. They want equal opportunity. Well, that's what it was all about to begin with. Equal opportunity. It could have started out like that. But it didn't. It had to keep the real thing hid until it got the society a little more tame. Society was a little bit too wild for them to say equal opportunity. All those wild dudes say, yeah, equal opportunity. And it would have been a mess. So they had to first tame the society a bit, you know. Cultural freedom. Religious freedom. All of these fine ideas, you see. Get the people tamed. Get them beautiful. Like the scene of nativity. Ain't nothing in there menacing. A little sweet baby. And little sweet animals. I didn't see a vicious animal in the nativity scene. Get them all nice and sweet, you see. Then tell them equal opportunity, and maybe it won't be such a disturbance. So we have equal opportunity now. That's the thing. Equal opportunity. Women rights and equal opportunity. understanding this, that there is a movement of freedom on earth, and that it is a systematic movement. It's a calculated movement. It ain't nothing given to our whims. Some of us think, you know, oh, times got hard, and people didn't stand for that. The people said, let us be free. And you think that what occurred after that, what resulted, was because of just some isolated incident. No, indeed. Everything that happened on this earth and gets a page in history is put into that scheme and must conform to that scheme. If it doesn't, they won't let it happen. Or if it happens, they'll keep it suppressed. They won't even let it go in history. It won't even go in history. Don't you know many things have happened on this earth that have been just as, I would say, newsworthy as many things that you know very well because they're in history so plainly. But they weren't put in history. They didn't include it in history. Because it didn't fit the pattern.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله دي برادرز سيسترز السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Thank you for joining us this morning for All Things Human. Alhamdulillah. We just listened to, I'm going to call it about one third of a, I'm not remembering if it was a Jummah or, I think it was a Jummah, 1982 here in Oakland. And in my archives, it just simply says, on hypocrites. So, inshallah, in the next couple of weeks on our more abbreviated schedule relative to our past, we'll play another half hour of it until we've played it all. Alhamdulillah, what we're going to do going forward is there's always so much that to bring, so therefore we're just going to spend the time together here and just make some comments. I do want to tell you, if you don't have a notebook, well, bottom line is that if you're not trying to study or own the knowledge that we're sharing here, well, then it doesn't matter. But those of you who are actually trying to take away information that you can, in your own time, study and deepen your knowledge of what's brought up, you need to make notes, because since we have less time, then you need to catch those firefly come to my mind right now. Those, let's call them intuitions, notations, etc. Catch them quickly, and I'm gonna start right away with some of that right now. When you go back, and I do encourage you to go back and listen to any lecture that we played of Imam Muhammad. You should listen to it. Sister Salwa, rahimahullah alayh. I shouldn't say rahimahullah alayh. My sister, she's still with us. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. But that's how special she is. Trigger in my mind. She, one of the points that she had made is that her husband, Sheikh Mahmoud, rahimahullah alayh, told her, listen to the Imam until you don't hear anything new. Listen until you don't hear. If you listen to, you don't hear anything new, then that means you basically own that information. So when you go back, the Imam was talking about something so profound. As always, but I'm going to go ahead and make this point. So we're into the notes now. That's all of my prefatory comments. In the Imam's address, when you understand, inshallah, and Allah knows best, when you understand what he was saying there about people that we would, you know, generically call Jacobites, you know, from that history, when you understand what the Imam said about how they deal with history and what makes it into the history and what doesn't make it into the history, when you understand that, then he's telling us that history means culture, okay? We all have our frame about, you know, what is history, you know, so we all have this, somebody said, well, you know, the history says, and, you know, in the Nation of Islam, the history is best qualified to reward all research, et cetera, the Yaqub's history, blah blah blah. So we have our, just anybody, not just those of that particular institution. Everybody has their idea of what history is, and if there are many different definitions of it. So I'm saying, when you understand what Imam Muhammad said about history as an artifact, as a feature of society, and particularly as it relates to this society, and we should say, of course, the world in which or under which we are operating and living, you know, a matrix, if you will. History means culture. history means culture. So now there's another word. Okay, we say culture. Then culture has all of its various meanings and frames of reference for people. Okay, so that means that, you know, in order to understand it, in order to get a grip on what culture means, and since we're talking about Imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayh, then in his language, if you want to understand, well, what is it in his language? Webster says this, the American Heritage Dictionary says that, and somebody else says this, and, you know, Princeton says this, Harvard says that, you know, whatever. What does Imam Muhammad in his language, what it, because he's telling us something about something that has critical bearing on how we move in the world and how we, whether we are imprisoned or free. Okay, so history in the language of Imam Wahdati Muhammad, I'm saying, based on these comments that he made, history means culture. Okay, and why is it significant for culture? Because culture is where, put it simply, culture is where the action takes place. Culture is where the action takes place, right? Meaning, I'm going to call it, I'm just put an analogy for use for value, a fishbowl. The culture that we live in is a fishbowl. I have a big list of movies. I'm going to go ahead and mention one of them right now. The Truman Show. It could either be Truman Story or Truman Show. You know, so that one with the Caucasian dude who played Bruce Almighty. You know who I'm talking about. Jim Carrey. So his whole thing, that's a real picture of what's really happening to human nature under and inside the fishbowl, inside the matrix of the world as it exists right now. You've got to understand that even in that movie, the guy who was directing the movie, the guy who was in charge of the whole thing, he was the man in the moon. And his name was Christoph. His name was Christoph, right? Come on. You don't have to spend a lot of time with that. Because these things, you know, for those who have some knowledge of it, that's so blatant, right? That's blatant, right? But it's only blatant for those people who have eyes and ears, and not the eyes and ears that the quote-unquote the world, i.e. the culture, gave to people. Because people see in this culture the way that this, if they have been enculturated by this culture, then they only see what this culture has conditioned them to see. They only hear what this culture has conditioned them to hear. So therefore, you know, effectively, from a real perspective, they are blind, deaf, and dumb. Blind, deaf, and dumb. So if somebody happens to see, it's like, well, you're really not supposed to be seeing. There's another, what is the movie? I believe the movie is Dark City. I'm going to keep telling, I'll go ahead and mention these movies. Oh, let me go ahead and mention this book, too. Make Believe Media, The Politics of Entertainment. Make Believe Media, The Politics of Entertainment. The author is Michael J. Parente. So some of what I'm talking about, you can see that from the political perspective. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We have those, the students of Imam Wahdati Muhammad. We have an entirely different set of eyes, set of ears, what have you, mashallah, sense of smell. So, mashallah. So those who have been enculturated, so the Truman Show, Christoph in the Moon, directing everything, you know, Jim Carrey's character believed that he was a totally free person. But no, you live in a fishbowl, and there are those who are seeing your life as entertainment, and there are those who are enriching their lives on your life, and you're not even in control of your own life. You don't even know what your life is. This is the reality of the world that we live in right now. The vast majority of the people in the society are sleepwalking. So let's move on. So history means culture. for these, you know, really they're Satans who are operating this way. And it means a scheme that governs the life of the people, a scheme that governs the life of the people. You see, Christoph, so we have the Christophs in our lives and in this world. And this world, we think, and especially what the Imam is saying, you think that what happens in the world, it happens happens without, it happens naturally. You think, oh, well, it's just, you know, things just happen that way. Yeah. There's another book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. None Dare Call It Conspiracy. It talks about that. If anything that happens politically is orchestrated. It's not, there's no accident. It's orchestrated, okay? Okay. So it's a scheme that governs the life of the people. So the Imam said about, as what he said in the piece that we listen to, some of you might not know what he's talking about. Well, there's a piece that we play before we come to my Facebook people, my YouTube people. On Blog Talk Radio, we on Wednesdays, we play a portion of some lecture of Imam Muhammad, and most of my commentary usually follows after that. So the Imam is saying that these people, what they lay down, what finds its way into the history books. When you look at China, you look at Russia, look at that. See, in America, they will show you, well, look what they're doing, look what they're doing. But they're doing the same thing here in America. You know, you talk about the bamboo curtain for China and the iron curtain for, quote unquote, Russia. Well, it's the electronic curtain for us here. So the idea is that the people who are quote unquote governing the culture, the Christophs of our world, what they're also doing, so you know that is going on in the educational system, the textbooks that find their way into the classroom, the curriculum that finds its way into the different tiers of education, they are all designed to reinforce the cultural design, idea, and destiny for the as intended by the Christophs of this world. I'm using that. So they wind up, you know, making history books, right? So they make the history books. So certain things are included in history, certain things are not included. The summer of love, is it called? This thing that's out right now, Netflix, and also in some theaters. Of what was going on in Harlem, the Harlem Festival was going on at the same time that Woodstock was going on. I mean, come on. Woodstock, everybody knows about Woodstock. Well, nobody effectively knew about outside of Harlem, by and large, knew about maybe Summer of Love, Summer of Soul, maybe that's the white folks there. Well, let me go ahead and straighten my hand on that one. Let's see, I'm not looking at any of it. Maybe somebody's typed it in. Okay, it's called The Truman Show. What is that? That thing is it Summer of Soul or Summer of Love? Whatever. Summer of Soul. Yeah, Summer of Soul. 50 years. That thing was in the can, and in the can meaning that it was done, packaged up, et cetera, and stored away in somebody's warehouse, and is about to be destroyed, effectively. You know, okay, so that's something that didn't make it into the quote-unquote the largest scheme of the history books of this world until now, recently. So powerful. So the idea is the control and the management of history through the control and the management of culture. And this is how you make history. Listen. Making history, I think it's simple. Like making history, put it in a book, call it history, and then send the book out to the people. So, and then what people read, oh, this is the history. That's not the history. That's what they're telling you is the history. But then, since you say this is the history, then this becomes a part of the culture, because that becomes the way of that. This is one of the things that people were pushing back against. So the point is that that's the way that the culture is managed. The way that the culture is managed is by creating history and effectively constructing a history by including certain things in the record and not including other things in the record. So therefore, the record becomes what the people who edited the content said that it was, right? So what gets built up in that process is what's called history, but it's all been edited and constructed and built up, and as the Imam said, is designed to keep a certain pattern, so that the people who are doing this editing, right, meaning including and excluding certain things, they have a template. They have a schema. A scheme, yeah, but a schema, meaning that it has to fit this pattern. So, which means whatever, it's like, so I have this virtual, all the dots haven't been connected, but this pattern has to be filled out. In order for us to keep the message that we want after our death, right? Because once you inherit that job at that level, your job is to read the past pattern, keep that pattern structured, but draw from what's happening in your time. You draw from real circumstances happening in your time, and then you include them where they fit in the pattern of history that would keep the cycle that's been going on for generations, more than generations. We're talking thousands of years. Yes, thousands of years. Wallahi, wallahi, wallahi. Okay? That's what we oftentimes don't have time to tell. But it's simple. Exodus, go to Exodus, borrowing the jewels from the people of Egypt in order to plunder them. That's what Moses told them to do before they left on the Exodus. And that knowledge has been used from, even if we just use that as a time frame, it's been used at least from since that time. That's what the picture gives us. When I say that's what the picture, that's the fact, but I'm saying you have that as a picture in scripture, which is a roadmap, a recipe, a blueprint, an algorithm, blah, blah, that's history, right? Which, when you've been enlightened about what is the value of this particular type of knowledge in this particular picture, what's the value of it in real time, in your time, et cetera, then there's a whole class of people, a group of people, no matter how limited, who are educated into what I'm talking to you about. I'm talking, Imam told us 40 years ago. What I'm talking to you right now, what I'm trying to make clear, the Imam said 40, he was giving this up 40 years ago. And how much of it do we understand 40 years later? But the point is that history has been going on. So therefore, I'm trying to get us to understand is that there are the elite who have their view on society and the world and world events, et cetera, and they have also the blueprint, which is the historic pattern that holds the knowledge of how we, the elite, maintain our elite position. So our job is to scan the society and the events and the developments, et cetera, and pull out and amplify or place in the pattern that which reinforces the pattern. You know, it's like a mosaic. I'm just talking to you. It's like a mosaic. Now, you have to think, you have to ask yourself, why is it called a mosaic? Please set that aside, right there. It can be made out of whatever. It can be made out of seashells. It can be made out of, most times it's broken pieces of glass. But, of course, it can be colored chips of wood or what. All of it's a mosaic, right? And they all have their different natural shapes, whatever it might be. It's like whatever. You just broke a vase, broke any glass, clay pot, what have you. But there's a picture that you're trying to make. Let's make what comes across my mind is the Van Gogh. That's just something that came to mind, probably because I'm thinking about art. But most of you know that picture of Van Gogh. It's fine. It's all right. Add to your culture education, at least from the Western perspective. Look it up. There's this standard picture of him. Okay, but you're going to do a mosaic. You're going to do a mosaic. So you have this general outline of the image that you're trying to fill out. Okay, but you have to draw it from not manufactured pieces that you have yourself. That no, you just got the natural shapes of some broken thing. But you okay? Now it's time to do the shadow on his eye, and it's time to do the lobe on his ear, and now it's time to do his beard. This okay? So you reach into this pile of seemingly random material, and you find the one that fits and that would bring the perspective to that particular part of the picture that you're trying to flesh out. That's how people make history and culture for this world. And then those who don't have any idea of the world that they're living in, they just experience it as though it's all natural. That's the way, that's the truth. You know, media never lies. Whatever you, that's reality. And that's the hypnotic effect on the people, quote unquote, subject to the culture, who have no capacity for questioning the culture and who get acculturated, and their frame of reference, their thinking, their perceptions are all now governed by this actually synthetic, manufactured, artificial culture and history that has been played before them or laid before them and fed to them in such a way that it feels to them all natural. When in fact, you have been artificially constructed by a culture that was itself constructed by people who have their own direction, motivation, intention, and pattern that they're trying to flesh out and guide those who don't have no knowledge of it, like mice in a maze. So Imam Muhammad, he said this is 1980. What I'm talking about right now, this is 40 years old. Then ask yourself, and how much do we understand? The Imam said in his book, As the Light Shineth from the East, he says, the cultural trends in America reveal the satanic operation of manipulative principle covertly operating in the culture, influencing the cultural thinking. By the operation of such covert principle, the culture swings in pendulum from oppressive states to liberal states, bringing us a taste of good times followed by a taste of hell. Near the bottom of the arc in the pendulum swoop, social chaos and aberrant morality. This operation deceives the moral and rational vision in the common public and deny all Americans the freedom our nation proclaims, all right? Brother and sister, listen. The swing from Barack Hussein Obama to Donald J. Trump, that's all on the pendulum. That's all on the pendulum. That's all on the pendulum. You can get caught up in that. You can get caught up in that. said, you know, you may as well just, you know, just think about a grandfather clock. And think about you just sitting on that pendulum, you know, and you just, if you don't recognize that, man, this is somebody else's drama that's being played out on stage, Hamilton, in real time. I'm just honestly, listen. This is me. This is like, this could be just my ignorance, no doubt. It's like, I mean, what the heck? Well, Hamilton. Was that such a good thing? Maybe somebody's got an explanation for it, but I'm really not looking for it. The point is, it is those same people who make popular whatever they want to make popular, and they make it popular as a part of a blueprint. They say it's time for something like this, whatever it might be. Hamilton could be just some principle that needs to be operating at a given time based on the recipe that the elite has. So now let's do, what are we going to have? Why don't we do things about Hamilton? Blah, blah, blah. So there's something behind it, brothers and sisters. There's something behind it. I don't know, and I don't have time to look for it. The point is that why is that thing, which is so irrelevant, come on now. If you're honest with yourself, you know that thing is irrelevant to you. What? But if it's that popular, it has relevance. Now, it depends on what kind of work, what level of work you're doing it for as far as culture and society is concerned and the work we're talking about, you'd have to dig into it and find out, okay, well, why is that so important right now and how does it relate to the history and how does it relate to that the destiny of the schemers, right? That's what we're watching. Not just watching, but we're operating in order to make advancements in the presence of the overall scheme. All right. So if you have some idea of what we're saying, that how history is artificial, I think that's another important way to take it and understand it right now. The history that this world gives you is artificial. Don't look at the history that this world gives you and say that that's really the history. Now, and so let's move on. We're gonna close up. I'll read a statement from her name is Lauren Greenfield, one word, Lauren Greenfield. And her publication, I think it's also a movie or video, documentary or something like that, Generation Wealth. This is a quote from that piece. She says, authentic culture can provide us a way to think critically about what's around us. Let me stop. There's another sentence to go. But that's the big point. Think critically about what's around us. Think critically about what's around us. Right? She says, my work is about having a way to deconstruct the culture. That is the matrix. You got to, you know, what is this? What is that really? I talked about a Star Trek episode. It's called I've Climbed to the Top of the Mountain and I've Touched the Sky. It's about an old man, everybody called him crazy, et cetera. But then he went up and he touched the sky, and he discovered the fact that everybody was thinking that they were living on a planet when in fact it was a giant spaceship that was designed to save the people from their dying planet. Nobody gets just like the Truman Show, right? Thanks, Dr. Strong. The Truman Show is like, they go up there and he went up to the top and touched him, oh, he's your old crazy old man, blah, 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 right? But the point is that he found the boundaries of what people thought was the real world. It's not a real world. Same way with that movie, The Matrix. Well, it's the same way for us. It's like you have to be able to deconstruct this culture. If you can't deconstruct this culture, then you are like a mouse in a maze. You're like a fish in a fishbowl. You're not a true man. You're not a human being in the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me finish her quote. And she says, my work is about having a way to deconstruct the culture around us so we can kind of see the matrix that we're in and hopefully have a little agency over it. You see, so here inside of her statement, and I'll close with this, inside of her statement says you have to learn how to think critically about what's around you. So that's one skill set that you have to get. You have to be able to deconstruct the culture that's around you in order for you to have a sense of agency over it. So if you don't think critically about this culture and you don't know how to deconstruct this culture, then you have no agency over it. It is in charge of you. You are a slave to the culture. So much more to be said, mashallah, inshallah. We perhaps will get back to it. You can always put comments in since you have that. We have Facebook, YouTube. You can put comments in there. We can follow up on those comments and share those as well. So, alhamdulillah, thank you so much for your time and attention. The beat goes on, and catch you next time, inshallah. Allah, peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.